guidelines on coming back to public mass and the reinstatement of the Sunday obligation. Here I want to specifically address that of the lifting of the dispensation, lifting of that dispensation with exceptions. There are exceptions, and those who come under those exceptions are dispensed. They are still dispensed from attending Sunday Mass. These are those people, the frail, who are maybe as a result of old age, or they have some underlying medical conditions, they are sick and they are at high risk. These persons are still dispensed from attending masses on Sunday or during the week, weekend masses. Then, of course, those people who live with them, those who take care of them, are also dispensed, especially when they think that coming out, they might jeopardize the lives of those who are ill at home. And then the other ones are those who, in conscience, feel that they are ill and sick, and knowing that probably coming out too, they might get the disease, the virus, so they decide to stay at home. They are also dispensed. They are also dispensed from Sunday masses. So you are not really forced to come, especially when you have to endanger your life. But for every other person who is well, you are well and everything, you are not dispensed from it. You are not dispensed from it. So that's the way it is. Then, of course, we know that there are other safety measures added to that, which some of us, we have been implementing those safety measures like safe social distancing, wearing masks, sanitizing, and so on and so forth. They are all part of the guidelines. And then we have printed copies of that in the Natex, and we also have link to downloading them from our website. So just go there and you get all of this information. Amen. Amen. Adonai is your name. You know, Adonai is the Hebrew word for God. God has so many names. Adonai is for Lord, Master, Sovereign. You are the sovereign. You are sovereign over all lives. Over all lives. Adonai is thy name. Adonai is your name. Mighty warrior, great in battle. Adonai is your name. Adonai is your name. Adonai is your name. Adonai is great. Adonai is your name. Mighty warrior, great in battle. Adonai is your name. Adonai is great. Adonai is your name. Adonai is great. Adonai is your name. Great might. Is it okay? Is it okay? We have nurses around, doctors. Okay, great. Okay, just take him out. Just if you can. Amen. Amen. So, last week, the readings talked about the duty of that a Christian has to correct an erring brother or sister. And then today, the readings bring us face to face with the most uphill of all Christian obligations, and that is to forgive offenses. To forgive offenses. In other words, it's saying we have obligation to forgive those who have offended us. And we also have obligation to ask of forgiveness of those we have offended. So it's a mutual kind of forgiveness. But the readings are actually helping us, or they are meant to help us to invigorate the life of our Christian community. So that operative word there, community, matters a lot. And it is so dear to God's heart. Community is so dear to God's heart. God created the human community, beginning from families. And it takes two to form a community. And you know what happened? It is God's will and design that the good of one person in the community or in the family becomes the good of all. The joys and the sorrows that one person in the family or in the community experiences becomes the joy and sorrows of all. Because these joys help to enrich our lives if we all embrace it. It enriches our life. And then the sorrows, of course, lessens our burden. That is why God did not make us to live in isolation, to live alone. Because when we live together, we're able to share one another's joys and sorrows. We share it. But living alone, it becomes almost impossible for us. And unfortunately, we live in a world, in a generation and culture that promotes self. You know, self becomes the ultimate measures of all things. It's all about me. If it does not come from me, if I cannot understand it, or I do not believe in it, or I'm not convinced of it, it does not exist. So it's always about self, and that is demonic. To begin to project the self so much is demonic. Remember Lucifer? That was where his downfall came. The self, me, all the time. Me, only me. I should live only in my own world. No, God did not make you to live in your own world. He made you to live in the world of others as well. That is where community comes in. Community comes in. You know, it's like what we're experiencing now, you know, mask. Some people say, I cannot wear mask because it infringes on my freedom. It infringes on my freedom. So it's still that same self, because it's just about your own world, but you are meant to live in the world of others as well. And there are certain common laws. There are universal laws. There are universal truths. It's not my truth, but there are universal truths. So it's all about we living together and promoting that harmony, that peaceful coexistence. That has always been in the mind of God from time immemorial. He does not want us to separate ourselves from others. And you can see how when Jesus came, also built a community. He built a community. He started with the apostles. And from the apostles, he asked them, go into the whole world. Matthew chapter 10, verse 12, and Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go into the whole world. Preach to them. Those who listen to you, invite them to become part of this big family, to become our family, the church. And so that we are many. And we are grateful and privileged to belong to this family of God, this community of God. So it is this community that God looks at so dearly and wants to make sure that this community does not disintegrate because of self-centeredness and selfishness, but that it continues to prosper. So let me give you an illustration of something about this community and how we are meant to live together, the positive consequences or effects of living as a community. Once upon a time, you know, all the members of the body, but this was before the discovery of the motor car or the train or the airplane. So all members of the body, they went on a protest. They were protesting against the stomach. There was this rebellion on. You know, the head said, we are working so hard, and only the stomach, all that the stomach does, the human stomach, all that it does is to eat. It does not work. So the head says, I do all the planning. The hand said, the leg said, I walk and go and I get the food. The eye says, I see the things that we need. The ear says, I do all the hearing. And then the hand said, I prepare the food. But stomach sits in one place and does all the eating. So we are not going to do anything. So no planning, no going out in search of food. So they all sat down. Food did not know, but they couldn't eat. So the first day, the second day, the third day, a week, they all became very, very weak. They couldn't move around, they couldn't plan, the eye couldn't even see. Even when it sees so many things, stars. The ears couldn't hear, it hears so many things that it couldn't even distinguish, you know, or discern. So eventually they had to say, okay, no, we need to come together and work together and build ourselves up again and be energized. And that's the way it is. So the same goes with the human community, the community we live in, especially the community of Jesus, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. If one part suffers, the whole body suffers. And that is why we all must work together to keep this body in place and collaborate and be concerned about its progress and growth. Because somehow, you have noticed how, where the community is not working together, some people are not happy, some people leave. That is not supposed to be that way. So God has made us to live together as brothers and sisters. And I like what we have here where it says, all are welcome because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so you see, God, because he's so concerned about keeping sustaining the community, he watches over it and looks down and says, okay, another thing that can destroy this family is when we do not forgive, that we must forgive one another. And because we are imperfect, we are sinful, broken, we can offend each other. We can hurt each other. Sometimes this hurt can be so deep. We keep it inside us, and it festers into resentment and bitterness. And this resentment and bitterness spoil our spirit and destroy our capacity to love. Unless we are healed of it, it will eventually destroy us and disintegrate the community. So the only way it can be healed is for us to forgive. And to forgive is not easy. It is not easy to forgive a hurt. But we need the grace of God in order to accomplish that. It needs the grace of God. But the fact remains that we must forgive, otherwise we do not stand any chance of receiving forgiveness from God himself. Because we're indebted to him, God forgives us completely and generously. And liken that to the parable in today's gospel, the servant who was indebted to the king. We are like that wicked servant. We are really indebted to God. We're indebted to God in so many ways. God forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives us all the time. And apart from that, God is so good to us. He has given us so much. We're indebted to him for our life. Our life in general belongs to God. God is the life we live. God is the food we take. God is the air we breathe. His is the family we belong. His is our intelligence, our talents, our gifts. His is everything. And and above all, he's even the life in the spirit that is within us. All of these things belong to him. So we are really indebted to him. But the only one thing that we can claim that is ours. Who can tell me what is that we really can claim that is ours and not God's, but ours exclusively? Who can tell me that? The only one thing that is really ours that does not belong to God. Does anybody know that? Oh my, yes, thank you. It is only our sins alone that is ours and not God's. So we are called to be able to heal ourselves. God has blessed us with good people in the community. There are people who act as mediators. They are people of wisdom, people who are forthright, people who are prudent, people who are objective, people who are sensitive, who, in fact, you call them peacemakers. They are there just for mediation. God places them there. So we can be part of that as well and build up our community in love. And then follow what St. Paul would say. It is God's desire that you live a good, quiet, and religious life. And remember that this is your family. Your biological family breaks away from you when we die. Our biological families, they break away from us, or our blood relatives, they break away from us when we die. But our family in the faith endures and goes through life, goes to heaven. It continues till heaven. So this is our real family, our true family. It reminds me of this joke. Well, I don't know if I'll call it joke or story. So a couple died. You know, this couple lived for some time, and eventually the man passes away. And few years later, the wife passes away. And then when she gets to the pearl gate, the beautiful pearl gate of heaven, and she sees the husband, you know, with all that excitement, she rushes towards him, exclaiming, "Oh, darling, I love you, I miss you, darling, I love you, I miss you." And then he said, "Whoa, that was till death do us part." So you see, yeah. So you see what we're talking about. Our blood relatives, you know, it breaks away as soon as we die. But it doesn't mean that the love we have for them, you know, dies as well. The love gets stronger in heaven, but subsumed into the love we have for God, into the love we have for, because God becomes our focus. God now becomes our focus, our consternation, our wonderment, our pleasure, and everything.